Al mundo la antorcha olímpica se ha transformado en una lección de derechos humanos para la Unión Americana. Beatriz Salas amplía la información.
Decidir sobre quiénes serán los portadores de la antorcha en la ceremonia inaugural de los Juegos Olímpicos de Invierno en Pekín es la responsabilidad de China, y Estados Unidos no está en posición de hacer comentarios despectivos. Así respondió Pekín a la reciente interferencia de Washington, quien aseveró que la elección de China del atleta de la etnia Uyghur, Denijir Jilamujian, para llevar la antorcha olímpica es un esfuerzo de Pekín para distraer la atención del llamado genocidio en la región de Xinjiang.
Los llamados comentarios de genocidio de Estados Unidos son la gran mentira del siglo y exponen su intento de politizar los Juegos Olímpicos de Invierno y su siniestra intención de utilizar el tema relacionado con Xinjiang para difamar a China.
China asimismo acusó a Estados Unidos de mentir de manera descarada sobre las minorías étnicas, mientras olvida sistemáticamente discriminaciones en su propio suelo.
Estados Unidos llevó a cabo un genocidio contra los nativos americanos en el pasado y ha discriminado sistemáticamente a las minorías raciales a largo plazo. La población de nativos americanos se ha desplomado de 5 millones a finales del siglo XV a unos 250 mil a principios del siglo XX, reduciéndose a una vigésima parte. ¿Qué es el genocidio? Las políticas que Estados Unidos ha impuesto a los nativos americanos son un verdadero genocidio.
Zhao, además de criticar la discriminación racial contra los africanos y asiáticos en Estados Unidos, dijo que elegir a un atleta de la etnia Uyghur muestra que la política de China de promover los deportes de invierno y mejorar la salud de las personas está beneficiando a individuos de todos los grupos étnicos y prueba que no existe discriminación.
Lo que Estados Unidos debería estar haciendo es revisar cuidadosamente sus propios crímenes históricos contra los nativos americanos y tomar medidas concretas para reducir la discriminación racial contra estas personas y otras minorías raciales, como los africanos y asiáticos.
China, en reiteradas ocasiones, ha instado a Estados Unidos a dejar de usar los asuntos vinculados con Xinjiang para difundir mentiras, interferir en los asuntos internos de China o intentar detener el desarrollo del país. Advierte que, de lo contrario, Pekín dará una respuesta más contundente a la luz del desarrollo de la situación. Beatriz Salas con información de Niloufar Shakuri, Hispan TV Noticias.
Migrantes de todos los rincones del mundo duermen bajo su mismo cielo estrellado. Me los encuentro en las calles, en los cines, en los supermercados, y el olor de sus comidas me embriaga de placer. Todos ellos son mis vecinos.
Y yo aquí vivo, bajo sus leyes domésticas, pago impuestos y mis manos producen la riqueza nacional.
Soy parte de esa comunidad que vive, trabaja y sueña con una mañana mejor para nuestras familias.
Casi todos migrantes como yo, casi todos soñadores como yo.
Trabajemos pues en la construcción de otra nación que nos haga dignos.
Seamos los arquitectos de nuestro sueño colectivo.
Esta radio no tiene comerciales porque tú nos apoyas. Si ya has hecho una aportación económica, te damos las gracias. Si no, hazlo ahora en kpfk.org o llama al 818-985-5735.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
Told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
I got three quarters of the way through several times and was like, well, I have no idea how this would end, so I have to start over. But one thing I know is I can't end a story without hope.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Nicaragua's NGO Purge targets its oldest queer group. Gay Taiwanese movie sings out a universal love song and upending the artistic process with Amanda Kayback. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 28, 2021. The government of Nicaragua is aiming to shut down the country's oldest LGBTQ advocacy group. The Interior Ministry has asked the National Assembly to annul the legal nonprofit status of Fundación Xiquetzal and 14 other non-governmental organizations.
Rumbling at you next, it's the Bathroom Spears Broadside Show for May 18th, 2023, Thursday. We're going to flash back to March 17th, 2000, since today is a busy Thursday and I'm kind of pooped. So you get to hear yesteryear's stuff. A lot of this happened around the time of some really hopeful activist activity where we thought we had a chance with a progressive, so-called, city council majority, consisting of Catherine Byers, we thought, Tim Fitzmaurice, we thought, Chris Crone, and Keith Sugar, the last two more so than the first two, but it wasn't to be, and you'll hear more about this in the course of this tape. We did a lot of tabling on the streets, demanding there be changes in the law that makes it illegal to essentially cover yourself up with blankets or fall asleep after 11 o'clock at night or set up a tent. And we had what's called the table to end the sleeping ban. Lots of interviews, including Tammy Black, 40-hour worker, who was previously a broker's assistant. And she talked about the huge escalation in rents. Then we talked to a Sentinel worker who was homeless before, ticketed for sleeping in her vehicle. Mike and Amy, David Donald, used to sleep under the Soquel Bridge. Sabrina, with her child and her partner, homeless and hard, dealing with police hassles. This was actually, at this point, I think, called the Spring Mobilization to End the Sleeping Ban. And I had many other interviews. We had a long one with Patty Long, who was an activist who worked with Elizabeth Gibbs, long even before my day in the mid '80s. Here, you had David L. read his collateral damage poem. Beauchet, who denounced being treated like trash. A former Beach Flats resident who attacked city council and their allies for their failure to stem the hard drug trade in the Beach Flats. Squatters who cleaned up their house or the house they squatted, but then were treated unceremoniously by police. Anthony Perez, Chris Markey, with his beat-up van. Lots of folks. Comparisons from a van dweller whose name I may not have caught, who traveled from Stockton to Santa Barbara back to Santa Cruz, comparing those different towns. David, who reported the other folks being beaten up. That was about the time when the Homeless Issues Task Force put together in 1999 as a kind of a diversion by the city council, similar to the CATCH committee that was put together in the declining days of the 2018 so-called progressive majority, which was actually more progressive than the previous majority, mainly because of Drew Glover, who was then first smeared and then dumped out of the council along with Chris Crone. And, of course, the other two members of the coalition, Sandy Brown remains heavily weakened, and she always been sort of not particularly the strong voice for at least on many homeless issues. Jerry Henry comes in. He's a activist who was fighting for as a youth counselor out at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center and was facing huge fines and jail sentences simply for exercising the right to protest at different stores in that Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center, which were later, ironically, removed by, I guess, Safeway expansion. We have Ralph Nader, ducking the sleeping van question when he came to town. We have my city council update, and Scott Graham talking about the misuse of enhanced enforcement by code inspectors in the beach flats. And that's a lot to cram into 2 hours, probably more than we do these days. But listen in, and you'll hear.
.3, March 17th, 2000. It's Bathrop Spears Broadsides. 2 hours of civil rights coming at you in the face. Stay with us. We've got more interviews on the street. Lots of upcoming news about plans to protest at City Council March 28th with Real Honest to Goodness live in color CD arrests. Stay tuned.
I'm a Santa Cruz resident for 7 years. I work 40 hours a week. I get paid $13 an hour, and I can barely pay my rent.
What kind of work do you do, Tam?
I'm a broker's assistant at a real estate firm here in town.
Situation has gotten progressively worse?
It really has. In the last 6 years since I've moved here, I originally started out in a room in a two-bedroom home almost on the beach for $325 a month, which I felt was rather high at that time. And now I'm renting what is essentially a studio apartment for $950 a month with my boyfriend. I can't afford to live by myself.
I won't ask if it's an abusive relationship.
No, it's
not.
The
relevant point is that you are being crammed into a smaller and smaller space, paying more and more, and you haven't got a living wage to start with. In fact, you've got probably a higher wage than any of the poor minimum wage people around, but
still. Absolutely. But still, here it is not a living wage. Absolutely not.
Is this true for other people you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. It's true for my best friend. She is a waitress at Denny's, has been for 5 years. She makes a decent living there. However, she is paying $650 a month for her 12 by 12 studio apartment on Broadway.
And, of course, if you get evicted, you'll be out on the streets in a vehicle getting $54 a night fines.
Mm-hmm.
That's, of course, what we're working at here at the table to end the sleeping ban.
Mm-hmm.
Want to give us a hand?
Sure, I'd love to.
So, additionally, there's an additional consideration, which is...
The price of real estate in town and, I don't know if it's so much the price of real estate, but the fact that it seems like everybody's decided now is a wonderful time to sell their home. Now, I'm in real estate, so this does benefit me. However, at the same time, the last three places that I've lived in have been sold, and I was
forced to find another place.
Pardon?
Forced to find another place.
Yeah.
So you're a worker in town, and
yes.
How long have you been in town?
A couple years. I've been working for the Sentinel for about 2 months now.
And how are they treating you?
It's a fabulous place to work. But I've noticed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've been homeless before, but I haven't had to sleep on the streets, thank God. But I've talked to many homeless people on the street as I go to work in the morning, and I've talked to a couple people that have gotten beat up and hurt really bad in the middle of the night just sleeping by themselves because they got to hide out sleeping because they're not allowed to sleep on the streets. But if we allow them to go sleep, you know, where they need to sleep, you know, somewhere they could find, you know, that's comfortable, that's not, you know, they're not making a scene. If people can sleep together and they don't get busted, then they got more people together and then they don't get beat up and stuff like that.
It would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yes.
How many people, have you heard of anybody being beaten recently?
Yeah, there's a guy down, he kind of lives down by the Catalyst, you know, and I don't know, he sleeps in the little walkway next door to the Catalyst, and three kids beat him up, and they broke three ribs and all kinds of terrible things to him, yeah.
How long ago was this?
This was just like, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
The other guy's name?
Gosh, I don't know his name, no.
Okay.
He's a nice guy, though, I talk to him all the time.
Well, I can't agree with you more. And I know you volunteered to help at the table, so obviously you think it's a serious issue for you. Anything else you want to say?
No.
You've actually been arrested for sleeping in your vehicle?
Well, not arrested, but I got ticketed. I was sleeping in my vehicle by a beach, and I thought I was out of the way, and got ticketed. Then I had to go to the New Brighton Beach and pay $20 to sleep that night instead of, you know.
How much did you pay for the ticket?
$30.
Wow, this is here in Santa Cruz or elsewhere?
Yeah, in Santa Cruz, down by where it was by Sunny Cove.
Wow, you got off light. Usually it was $162.
Wow, really? My goodness, like you're not already broke. Already sleeping on the street, like that's going to help you get up anywhere.
Keep moving along.
Yeah, you need to keep moving along.
Your name, sir?
My name is Mike.
Mike, you live in a vehicle?
I live in a van, yep.
Tell me about it.
It's a pretty nice van. It's pretty cool, you know, but, you know, we'd rather live in a house or something.
Yeah, what about Santa Cruz? How long have you been here?
We've been here... Me and Jim have been here for 10 months about. And
is this other person with you as well?
Amy, yeah. She's new to the area. She's been here before, but she's new to the area.
Hey,
now.
Amy. Okay. And so. I'll take a hug, man. Don't feel pressured by some big older guy with a beard. Thank you. And you heard it first on Free Radio. Actually, you heard it again on Free Radio. So, what's the story? Any tickets? Any hassles?
Actually, not. I mean, when we first got to town, we didn't have the vehicle. So, we drove out here, and the van that we drove out died on us. So, we started just living in the hotels. First, we were in... I mean, it's been tough, though. First, we had a sublet, but that was, like, so much money. Like, it was unbelievable. Like, something like $1,600 a month. To live in this house, which was really run down, and the landlords were evil. And then we moved into the hotel for a little while, which is like almost $300 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we tented it in our friend Bob, at our friend Bob and Jody's house.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're back to the hotel. Then I went back to New York, got a van, drove it back, and now we're living in
a van. Now you're criminals living in a van. Are you parked within the city limits?
Yeah.
Yes.
And any stops by police? Any midnight wake-ups?
Not yet.
And how long have you been in this van?
We've been back about a month now, yeah. And we've been paying to park it at the hotel because we know
it's on private property.
We are still on illegal, you realize. We have to pay in order to not get tickets.
Oh, no, it's illegal to park
totally
on hotel property.
Illegal, yeah.
Illegal. It is illegal for you right now, even on hotel property. The only place it's legal is on church property, three to a church property. On a business, wait a minute. You're a business, aren't you? Hotel is a business.
A hotel.
Two vans
business.
Are allowed to park in the parking lot of any business in town with the consent of the business.
Right on. Yeah. So we do have consent, I guess. I mean, they know that we're. You know.
I still think they're a bunch of criminals. I think round them up is what I say.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
No, not really. Yeah. Just thank you. Have a nice day.
Oh, fine. You're a man who's lived in this car for a couple years.
Yep.
And what? Any hassles during that time?
I got hassled once when off of Pelton. Pelton's not the right place to stay, as I figured out.
So generally, you were pretty successful.
I never got caught in once in 2 years. No, because I didn't. That time when they hassled me, then they. I didn't budge because I had a car and a dog in the car, and so he made all the noise to cover up my movement. Mm-hmm. And I had everything blocked out, all the windows. But then after the police tried to get me out of there, but I didn't respond. Then about 20 minutes later, after I was asleep again, this guy came back with one of those marine foghorn things.
Oh, no.
And blew it into the car. It scared the shit out of me. But
the Santa Cruz Police Force or deputies? Or?
No. They were
sheriffs. Before you do that, are you a registered voter?
Yep.
Cool. You have to be in the city. County is county. Okay, good.
My experience with the police has been that they're pretty good, actually, about the law, that they enforce it only when called. And in 2 years I was there, I mean, like, I was, other than that one time or one or two times of staying on Pelton, otherwise I was really savvy about where I did it. I never got caught at all.
Sounds good. Thank you. Okay. What's your name?
First off, my name is David Darnell.
David, you're homeless?
Yes, I am.
You're doing signatures now.
Yes. Yeah. My street name is Whatever. That's what everybody knows.
Hey, Whatever.
Me and two of my friends used to sleep underneath the Soquel Bridge. On the other side, they have the cage there. We slept up inside there. We kept it nice and clean. We would, keep garbage in bags. We would take them out to the dumpster. We had the place cleaned up. It was nasty when we got in there. We were keeping it clean. But cops kept kicking us out. We'd go back,
kick at you or just kick you out?
They'd kick us out first. They were just kicking us out.
Right.
We don't have another place to go when it starts raining out here, And they won't even let you stay underneath here at the Del Mar. So we did go underneath the bridge, So we made our little home underneath the bridge, They kept kicking us out at first. So then we had to start playing it smart. We kept telling people, all right, don't go mobbing up. Don't go in large groups. Because the businesses around that bridge were calling the cops on us because they didn't want homeless people living underneath the bridge next to their business. After a while, the cops just start getting worse. The cops start showing up more often. And then just last week, they busted a bunch of kids down there.
And what did they do? What kind of...
I wasn't there for the actual bust, but they caught them with some drugs. So they gave them just more things to add on to it. So, and I haven't seen the kids. I don't know if they got tickets for camping or what, but now they had the thing all chained up and locked up so nobody can get in there. So you can't sleep underneath the bridge no more. So then we moved from off the side of the bridge to the bushes that are next to the Soquel Bridge. We're just sleeping out there.
Which, of course, it's illegal to even be there after dark, you bad boy. You.
Yeah, definitely. And so then they came down there and told us we can't be there. And so we're playing this ongoing game of trying to find a place to sleep every single night, it's just like they got on our butts one day. Like one of the cops was saying to me, he was like, "Why don't you get a job?" And I was like, "Well, it would be a little easier for me to get a job if I'd have to spend all day trying to figure out where I was going to sleep at night."
And what did that fine officer respond to your argument?
Nothing. He just told me he doesn't want to catch me, sleeping anywhere at night. Because this one officer, they all know me now. And any of them, they're done giving me warnings. So if they catch me again, it's going to be tickets or...
It's the big house for you.
Yeah, one or the other. And they're actually trying to get me for something. They've been watching me, following me around. One of them pulled me off to the side the other day and asked me why I was over at the phone over at Long's. They're like, "What are you calling, a drug dealer or something?" I was like, "Why are you guys stalking me?" And I was like, "Actually, if you wanted the truth, I was over there spanging." And it's just ridiculous. I mean, they're making us have to focus on something like this. So we can't focus on other problems in the country. We've actually got to spend time to get rid of the sleeping ban, I mean, something like this shouldn't even be illegal. It shouldn't even exist. Honestly, I'd like to find the man who actually made his time to make up the sleeping ban, give him a couple of my
Mayor sons. Bert Muley, 1978.
This ban's been going on since 1978. Oh, man, it's ridiculous. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I've got like tons of stuff in my head, but I can't get it all out.
All right, take your time. You're doing good.
Sabrina.
And Sabrina, looks like you got a family unit here.
Yes, I do.
It's like a child and an associated male here.
Yes, I do.
You guys are homeless?
Yes.
And how is it living homeless? How are you making out?
Hard. Definitely hard.
Where do you sleep at night?
I crash by the beach.
Any hassles from police?
Yep.
Give me an example of last time that happened.
Last time it happened, they gave me a ticket and told me I had to leave, and if I didn't leave, I'd go to jail.
And how long ago was that?
About a year ago.
So you say in the last year things have gotten easier?
No.
So you're just hiding more deeply, or?
Well, I just got back into town, too.
Oh, I see.
So.
And you're, I'm sorry, you're saying?
Stayed at the church.
Stayed at the church to be safe from everything. People love us.
Which church? Interfaith Satellite Shelter? On the floor? Or?
Mission on the floor.
Uh-huh. And what about tonight? Where are you guys going to be sleeping?
Don't know. Probably by the beach.
This is son?
My son Elijah.
Elijah?
Yes.
Hey, it was his own name. I can see that. Your name is?
Tim.
Hey, Tim. Anything you want to say out there, any of the three of you, for free radio?
No.
Any hassles with police otherwise since you got back?
Not yet, but I'm sure it will happen real soon.
How long have you been back?
Just about four or five days.
Let us know if anything happens.
Oh, we will.
Just been traveling around city to city, basically.
Pretty much.
What do you find in different cities?
Same thing. Same hassling. Same cops always telling you to move, leave, don't do this, don't do that. You know, can't sleep here, can't sleep there. You know, it's ridiculous, pretty much.
It's the pits, man.
Yeah.
Gotten tickets and fines in other cities?
Yeah, actually tickets for dog tickets.
Where is your pooch? You wouldn't want a dog on the mall.
I don't have one anymore. Died a long time ago. So, yeah, it's been real hard with the cops out here. I think they need to, like, mellow out for a while. Leave us alone. You know?
My baby carriage is my home. Leave me alone.
Exactly.
Thank you.
On my way. Well, sometimes I am happy, sometimes sad. Thinking of the good times I have had. Thinking of the places I have been. Sometimes down, sometimes up, sometimes in. On my way to another working day. On my way. And I wish that I could stay on my way. But I have no time to play. And I hope that I will see you on my way. And I got me a job in Buffalo. And it's cold when those chilly lake winds blow. And it's hot when the steel furnace glows. It was dirty when the steel smoke rose. On my way, so forth. Well, then California called me for a while. And the sun was shining every single mile. It was getting so darn crowded I could cry. Crossing land and sea, falling from the sky. And I've been all along the southern shore. And the people there were looking mighty poor. They was waiting for the factories to arrive. And some of them were fighting to survive. Yes, I've been all up and down the line. But somehow my money stayed behind. A good paying job is hard to find. And the graveyard's looking for another sign. On my way to another working day. On my way. And I wish that I could stay on my way. But I have no time to play. And I hope that I will see you on my way.
And looks like we're well on our way here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. That's what you're tuned to. It's Thursday afternoon. You're tuned to Bathrob Spears Broadsides. That's the twice-weekly Civil Rights for the Poor show that I host. And I'm Robert Norris, your host for the next hour and a half here on Free Radio. If you want to join the show for praise or for criticism, or just to express your view, the phone number to call is 427-3772, 427-FRSC, abbreviation for Free Radio Santa Cruz. If you want to catch us off the air, we're at 427-4523. If you'd like to get more information about Free Radio, perhaps join the collective, perhaps support us. We are the only free radio station and probably the oldest free radio station in California that's been continuously operating. We are always operating on a shoeskin? No, that's a shoelace. There we go. And we're thin-skinned, too, but that's another story. But it's a shoelace budget here at Free Radio. We need all the help we can get. We operate through secondhand equipment, donated. We use snips and snails and whatever we can to keep the station running. And we run it 24 hours a day. And we run it in such a way that the community has open access to the station. Even when we get critical of some of our collective members and don't let them in the station, we still allow their voices on the air. And you will not be censored on this station if you call in. If you have something to say that has any relevance to the topic at hand, sometimes and usually, even if you get a little irrelevant. We're kind of irreverent and occasionally irrelevant as well. So stay with us on Free Radio Santa Cruz for the next 2 hours and join us. That's really the key here. Again, the phone number to call in is 427-3772. You've been listening to interviews on the street from the spring mobilization to end the sleeping bans downtown table in front of the Del Mar Theater. You might have seen it down there in the last week on Pacific Avenue. We are trying to recruit people to help stop, end, modify, do something to humanize the sleeping ban, the criminalization, you might say, or you would say, actually, of poor people who face $54 tickets, harassment, and violence if they fall asleep outside after 11 o'clock at night. They don't necessarily face any of those three, but they face the significant possibility of any or all of them, which puts them in an endangered kind of category. That is to say, people who are afraid of warrants showing up on their police record for past sleeping tickets, which is the fate of many homeless people in Santa Cruz, don't feel readily able to use police services, nor do they want to be in places that the police would normally patrol, for they're afraid they will be the target of harassment. Hence, when they're attacked by so-called troll busters, skinhead groups that are white supremacists, just thugs of one sort or another, they don't report the assaults usually, and they can't sleep together in sufficient numbers in a well-lit area that they could more properly protect themselves. And this is the point that I have raised again and again at public bodies and indeed various other public groups such as the Homeless Issues Task Force, the Community Action Board, the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, the city's own commission, have all brought to the city council, and the city council has done absolutely nothing about this. Turned a deaf ear, hasn't even responded looking for a staff report on the issue of violence against the homeless. No. They have rigidly decided that their West Side constituents, small groups of conservatives in the West Side neighbors, and certain conservative businesses are really the key people, and they're going to follow their opinion, which is to keep it criminal, illegal for people to sleep at night, even though this endangers 700 to 1,500 homeless people every night, and moreover is an ongoing and clear and present violation of human rights. You cannot make it a crime to do what every human being has to do each night, sleep. It's also a crime to cover up with blankets. And the municipal code that puts out this malarkey is 6.36.010. Section A is the sleeping ban, Section B is the blanket ban, and Section C is essentially the camping ban, which makes it illegal to put up a tent. And there is lots of mobilizing this spring around this issue. Lots of people concerned about it. A number of folks are circulating an initiative to repeal the sleeping sections of the camping ban. Actually, it's called a Safe Sleeping Zones Initiative. It's a very mild initiative. It still would, in essence, prohibit people from sleeping in neighborhoods, in the downtown and beachfront areas. But it would permit people, essentially, to sleep where they have to in industrial zones and in other places, in the edges of parks and so forth at night. And while it doesn't provide the solution, I am always asked, well, is this a solution? And, of course, it's not a solution in any real sense. You need is good jobs, affordable housing, significantly changed society. And I think a lot of us would like to see that. But in the meantime, arresting people for sleeping is the height of absurdity. And it seems to me the height of absurdity that I have to mention it twice a week on the radio. And it appears, looks like that's what we have to do in order to get some changes. March 28th is the next city council meeting, and that is actually a council meeting at which we're gearing up to do some significant protest. There's actually going to be a planning for a protest tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the Rise Zone for those who are interested in planning this peaceful protest. There are at least four or five people who are fasting actually have gone to full liquid fast as of March 1st, according to fasting activist David Silva, who is himself also fasting. He may be calling in on the show to talk about this. He often does. And he's really been pressing the issue in a steadfast, almost spiritual way. In January, he and others refused to take a meal. In February, they refused to take two meals per day. And then today, in March, starting in this month, they began to take no meals. It was all liquid. They're going to move, I believe, to clarified liquids soon, if they haven't already. And then they will move to juices and water. And it's a way of, in essence, turning up the pressure on the city council to say, we are putting our health on the line. And these, indeed, are people who are not in the best of health. David and others have AIDS, and that's an illness that requires, as many of you know, taking massive amounts of pills and medications and having food that you also take with it to digest those medications adequately. And I'm not an expert on it. Perhaps David at some point will talk about that. But there are people sufficiently alarmed at the state of David Silva's health and some of his co-fasters, particularly his co-fasters, apparently, according to what he was telling us a few days ago at the Rhizone as we were having a meeting with him, that they want, there is going to be a strong civil disobedient protest, possibly with people risking arrest, to bring the city council's attention to this issue on March 28th at the evening city council session. So, hey, it is time for people to stand up and be counted. I encourage you to come down to the homeless table or the spring mobilization and the sleeping van table in front of the Del Mar. We're there every day from 12 to 6. We need volunteers to staff that table for two-hour periods. We want you to call in and volunteer a time when you will be available to staff the table. Call 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Help us end this law. We're not just talking about letters to this paper, although that's good. We're not talking just about phone calls to 420-5020, 420-5020, the city council hotline. You can call them now and should tell them to end the sleeping van. We're talking about a massive civil disobedient protest downtown that continues day after day, night after night. And I mean, you don't have to be arrested for this. I say civil disobedient, and I mean that potentially civil disobedient. I'm talking about a protest that encourages people not to shop in downtown Santa Cruz until this whole issue of human rights is really resolved and changed and righted at last. And that's what we're building toward. The kinds of protests that ultimately, I think, had significant impact in mobilizing the communities in the country in the 50s and 60s to restore some rights to African Americans, and successfully did so. So if you're interested in this, please give us a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. If you want to talk about this on the air, the phone number to call is 427-3772. And we're going to continue playing some more interviews from the streets. Really interesting stuff. Folks who I would not have thought would be in trouble are really in trouble. They're aware of the fact that they are on the edge of being homeless with the rents escalating as they do. And they are upset. Let's hear some more.
How long have you been outside?
Like a month and a half.
And how old are you?
I'll be 19 in about 2 weeks.
And you're a single woman. You look young. One could mistake you for being much younger if one were so inclined. Have you encountered any problems with police around curfew?
No, not curfew at all.
There goes food, not bombs. Food, not bombs! So, how about sleep? Any hassles for sleeping outside?
Not really. We have a pretty cool place whenever I do need to sleep outside, although we did get busted in one spot, but it was kind of like a sketchy situation anyways, so we were wrong. But as far as sleeping outside, we never had any problems because the spot we have is pretty good, although last night we did get woken up just to tell to move on.
How many are you?
Usually two. Whenever I sleep at the safe spot, it's 3 to 6.
Any beatings by folks that homeless people have been recently, last 6 or 8 months, there's been a lot of beating going on, we understand. Have you had any of that experience?
I've had none of that, no experience.
How would you feel about if I wrote
this? Are most people hanging with you younger, older, same?
Mixed ages.
And what are the main needs of folks without houses these days?
Just to find a dry place to sleep. Because there's plenty of food resources. If you starve to death in this county, you got to be stupid. I mean, because, you know, nice gestures like this, you know, and the soup kitchen, all those places, but generally...
You're referring to the fine soup of India Joe Schultz, which is being served here at the spring mobilization and the sleeping van.
Yes, very good.
Indeed. But you say there aren't places to sleep. That's what you're saying.
As far as places where you will get hassled or won't get hassled. Because a lot of places you will get hassled. Like, obviously, you can sleep on the stairs of the, you know, federal post office over there, but you got to leave before they open, which is cool. At least they let you sleep there. But then there's other places that.
That's interesting.
haven't been harassing people for sleeping there?
I know a person actually personally who has been sleeping over there, and he hasn't really dealt with any problems. It's just he has to be up at about 6:30 in the morning, and that's not too bad. You know, it's still a place to sleep. Get there, you know, early in the night and fall asleep, get a good night's sleep, and get up bright and early, you know.
And you know how many folks usually sleep there at night?
I have not actually seen how many people. I just know of one.
But you yourself don't sleep there?
No, I've never slept there.
Not an early riser, I take it.
I don't know. This morning I got up at, you know, a little before 6, and usually whenever I'm not waken up by somebody else, I get up at about 7:15, so it's not that big of a deal. When I'm sleeping outside, I wake up because I love the mornings when I'm outside. In fact, I've been sleeping in houses a couple times, and I feel groggy when I wake up in the morning because I'm just...
A little outdoor sleeping, perhaps something you recommend to your average indoorsy person?
Yeah, definitely take the family camping a lot more than once a year.
Absolutely. Yes.
Got a call here from a man who regularly surveils the post office. Are you an officer of the law, sir?
No.
Oh, that's reassuring.
I'm an officer of the people.
Oh, cool.
Okay. So I was just telling you that I swing by there because my job has me pick up mail for companies sometimes early in the morning. Usually when I swing by there before 8 at the post office, there's at least a few people that still have blankets and stuff out and are handing out there in the morning. And I just want to also throw out to people that a lot of people in the Santa Cruz camp in the woods. That's really common. There's all kinds of places in the Santa Cruz area to camp in the woods.
Would you think that the police are easing up on folks? Is that your impression, caller?
No. I think that the post office is a federal building.
Oh, so you think they're reluctant to come in there and make
yeah, they see it as outside of their jurisdiction. It's definitely not city property. And so that the laws don't really apply. So unless somebody from the post office actually makes a complaint, you know what I mean, the local police just aren't going to get involved at all. Hmm. I have seen the vets hall make complaints years ago. Okay, years ago, I saw the vets hall make complaint about homeless people sleeping out back, and the cops came and dealt with it.
So. Right, yeah, I know that when we did a vigil in front of the post office back in 1990, it was an 8.5-month vigil. Actually, it was on the street, but then folks would go sleep under the eaves of the post office when it rained. And they were regularly rousted by the police, but I know they. Yeah. Some of them thought, well, we're on federal property, so we're safe. And of course, they weren't, because
yeah.
The city has the option to act there. But you know, apparently, you and others are observing that.
Oh yeah, it's pretty common.
They're not arresting people.
Yeah, it's pretty open. And like, you go there in the morning, you'll see people there. You know, this one woman has a dog, and she's usually there.
Uh-huh.
And stuff. And like I said, a lot of people camp in the woods. You know, I mean, that's the most common thing I think homeless people do in Santa Cruz.
Uh-huh. Well, and. Hopefully, you know, it will become not an exercise in avoiding the police. And also, of course, I've heard complaints that people are not the cleanest campers at times. Maybe we need some kind of training program so folks who are going to be out there camping can learn how to camp right, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it's just personal responsibility. I mean, if you pack your trash out, you pack your trash out.
Right, yeah. That's true.
If you go there and drink lots of beers and then just kind of throw the bottles everywhere, you know, that's kind of like a bad trip.
Right. Don't reuse your needles and don't toss them in the, you know.
Yeah, I was cleaning up a campsite once. I was cleaning up an abandoned campsite that was like years old ones. And like there was like McDonald's wrappers and stuff. And then there was a hypodermic needle in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's the kind of mess that drives the neighborhoods crazy. They get all upset. And I suppose, you know, it's appropriate people be concerned, although I guess the daily mess from people who visit the boardwalk is daily cleaned up by the city trash crews. And
yeah.
They don't seem
well,
to
do
that.
Well, that's curious. I mean, it's grim.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, thank
All
you.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Official of the People.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, it's around 4:05, still here on March 8th in front of the Del Mar. We're talking to James. And James, you yourself, when you came to town, you were in your own vehicle?
Yeah, I lived in a van for the first year about that I was in Santa Cruz.
And what year was that?
I came here in 98, I believe.
And how were you treated while you were in your van?
I was smart about it. I parked in places that I wouldn't be found, but a few times I was awakened in the middle of the night, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning by officers and asked to leave and warned that I would get fined if I was caught sleeping in my van more than once.
Did you experience any violence or threats of violence from folks? You've heard about the troll busting?
I've heard about troll busting, but I was pretty smart enough to stay away from anywhere that I might be rousted by anyone.
So you have a certain sympathy for folks who need to sleep at night?
Certainly, sleeping, I mean, it should be your right.
now you found work and a place to live, and you're in better circumstances.
Yeah, and I'm going to school and working a couple jobs and making my way, but when I first got here, I didn't have the resources to have a place, so it was necessary for me to sleep in my vehicle.
There's currently a movement afoot, as there has been for a long time with some of us, to end the sleeping ban provisions of the camping ordinance, and even more broadly, to dump the whole camping ordinance as long as there aren't legal and safe places to for people to be, because even if you can sleep at night, you should be able to shelter yourself at will as well, let's say with a tent, if there's no other place for you to be. What's your feeling on that?
It's very clear that the shelters that are offered are insufficient for the amount of people who are in need of shelter. So if the county cannot provide shelter for the people who need it, then they should be at least allowed to find it for themselves. As long as they're not in a place where they're harming people or bothering anyone, it should be their right to sleep anywhere that they find safety.
I can't agree with you more. And it looks like you're interested in perhaps doing something about this. We found the city council doesn't seem to respond even to prestigious $10,000 commissions that tell them just what you said after spending months of examining the problem. What do you think is the way to change the city council's mind?
Maybe they could all sleep on the street for a few months.
Perhaps we should confiscate their houses as a salutary measure.
That might give them some sympathy.
Anything you want to add?
No, but best of luck, and I hope that people wake up to the realities of the situation and quit standing on the outside, try to stand on the inside and look at what's happening.
Thank you.
Okay, a song called The Cruel Years. Held a little ways with it. The year was filled with a long sigh. The day was filled with a smell of dying. And mothers born, their lost sons crying. These are the cruel years. Years of dying. 4 years the sky was dark above. Bluebirds of hate and not of love. How we long to see the dove. These are the cruel years. Years of dying. How many prayers of peace were spoken. Tired eyes searched for a token. How many can die till peace was chosen. These are the cruel years. Years of dying. Then came the years of rebuilding. New lessons learned to teach the children. So they can go and die willing. These are the cruel years. Years of dying. And now I ask you all together, another war can we weather? Shall we live or die together? These are the cruel years, years of dying.
Long, who has been fighting for the rights of homeless people for 15 years, looking to find services for them, you were saying?
Well, I was just reminiscing with Robert here about the first day we set up a table to serve food for the homeless after they kicked us out of the Portuguese Hall. The Red Cross decided the chronic homeless should not be
after
taken.
The earthquake, you
after
mean?
The earthquake.
1989.
So we grabbed whatever food we could, went down to Coral Street and Highway 1, and in the open field, we were setting up a table and a little covering. And two building inspectors showed up. Now, you can't get building inspectors if you needed them for 6 months. But two of them showed up, and they said to me, I hear you're putting up a structure here. Do you have a permit? And I said, a structure? We're putting up a tarp so that we're not baked in the sun. We're serving food to the homeless. I had a hammer and a stake in my hands, and I said, here, give us a hand. And they laughed at each other. They looked at each other, shrugged their shoulders, and they said, go ahead, we're gone.
Well, I just heard from Officer Brand and his co-officer that within, well, either today or tomorrow, Del Mar will post this area with no trespassing signs. We're standing in the alcove of the Del Mar Theater. And that, let's make it illegal for us to be in this space.
Uh-huh. So we'll move the tables right out here.
Exactly.
Out on the sidewalk,
exactly.
So that it's not in the alcove.
Indeed. We'll keep moving those tables where we have to move them in order to retain our respect for the laws of Santa Cruz.
Oh. You know, Robert, with the high rents and they're going right into the stratosphere, we're going to have more homeless people than ever before in the Bay Area and in Santa Cruz area. I got friends who have been long-time residents, and they're working, and they've been told by their landlord, we're selling the place, and the new landlords are going to double the rent. So
has this happened more than once?
Yes.
How many times has it happened when you've heard of it?
I know about three people who are facing that very situation. One right up here at that university printing place, young guy with one or two kids.
Mm-hmm. Hot soup, come and get it.
Yeah, property was sold, and the new landlord's going to double the rent. And that's our fear, Elizabeth and I. Mm-hmm. We've been there 16 years. We're afraid that the place will be sold, and the new landlord, to cover all the mortgages, will be doubling the rents on us. A lot of people feel that way. So.
And a lot of people have legitimate fears about that.
Yeah, yeah.
You've heard about the Schmidt proposal to establish a safe parking or sleep in your vehicle place up at the Armory, if the governor agrees, and over at the county building, if the county agrees. Apparently, there's no safe places in Santa Cruz for some reason. They can't seem to get the city council to offer anything on that score yet, though it's supposed to be coming up on the 28th
of March. If they're serious, there are places they could use. Any of the covered garages could be used, not as a camping site, but as a place to pull in and to be safe, to be covered, and to have a place to sleep at night and leave the next morning before the regular customers come in.
So what we need to do is find a way to exert sufficient pressure on the city council and the powers behind them that they will have no choice but to do something less
than...
Tell me who can forget that the German sun sets on the graves of so many million men. And the leather boots of hatred were pounding on the pavement, and the branches of appeasement had to bend. Camps were overflowing, all the people knowing they had a job, so Hitler was their friend. And when the war was over, judges wise and sober put them into power once again. And nobody raised their hand, and nobody said a word. And nobody raised their hand, and nobody cared to listen. And all was silent in the land. And before it was the fashion to take on integration and shake your hand with Martin Luther King, the mobs they went a-searching, at leisure they were lynching, and the terror of the trees was made to swing. Klansmen took to riding, to plunder and to frighten, the council of the citizens was king. While the Congress of the nation was cautiously debating, someone in the shadows pulled the string. And nobody said a word, and nobody raised their hand, and nobody cared to listen, and all was silent in the land. Now the war is growing louder, shelters digging deeper, hiding from the whistle and the whine. And again we ask no questions, again we learn no lessons, but the sad regrets we'll never do this time. For explosions then unending will drown the words unspoken like the shattered sound of uncompleted rhyme. And the rubble will be tasted in a world so fully wasted, not a hope, not a murmur, not a sign. then will say a word, and nobody then will raise their hand. Nobody then will care to listen, and all will be silent in the land. Yes, all will be silent in the land.
Well, the city council members may face that kind of a situation where they have to leave their residence because it's becoming too expensive to live in Santa Cruz. Have people call the city council, have them call the county, the supervisors, and put pressure on them to make a move to help the homeless and stop criminalizing them.
420-5020 is the city council number for all you folks listening out there. Thanks, Patty.
Yeah, thank you, Robin. Keep up the good work.
The hosts are telling people they're going to have to stand up. Actually, so what they're saying to you is you have to move out into the rain and sit on the wet sidewalk, hey, Lowell, rather than sit where you are. Actually, I think you can sit.
I thought it was just if you were leaning up against the building.
It's supposedly within 10 feet of an entrance or storefront. So you can legally sit further out in the rain on the street, as Santa Cruz law so gently and kindly tells you. You can also sit on these stools. They are legal to sit on until such time as trespass notices are posted, at which point we will simply move out a bit. So you guys feel free to continue to congregate here. I apologize for the... In fact, I think you can sit right out here, as a matter of fact. This area here is...
About 10 feet away from
any of the entrances. I would argue those are entrances.
And what you're hearing is a conversation about a week ago when the rain had forced the springtime mobilization against the sleeping band table into the overhang of the Del Mar Theater. We were actually inside that alcove area. We were then visited by police officers and their little green friends, the hosts, the group of people funded by the city to run around and tell people can't sit here, can't sit there, and act as the eyes and ears of the police force. Somehow they're calling that the hospitality brigade. Catherine Byer, another one of Catherine Byer's strange inventions, along with the latest go to sleep, go to jail, get a $54 ticket deal that she passed last March. Anyway, we were told by the hosts and the police that we were having some soup there right out of the rain, that you have to go sit in the rain if you want to enjoy the soup, even though this is an abandoned theater area and no one else was using it. And there were no trespass signs posted. And by the way, they still haven't posted that area, though we did move the entire table, as those of you who have gone by the springtime mobilization against the sleeping ban found out, right out into the street. Of course, the weather has been sunnier. The fact that the city would do this against political protesters, against homeless people, really says a great deal about just how liberal the city really is, even after all these elections and all these scans, Santa Cruz Action Network candidates' promises, and all these statements by Mayor Sugar and homeless issues task forces and everything you can think of as a sort of a protective cover. The police are still doing the same thing. Same kind of harassment is happening. The same kind of essentially get out of here viciousness is going on, not because there's any genuine problems that are being caused, not because there's violence or even too much noise. We weren't told any of those things. We were just told, oh, we have a law, you can't sit here. And this was told to people who are hungry, trying to get dry out of the rain. Times haven't changed in the last decade and a half, I'm afraid. Let's hear more.
Of course, they may argue the whole thing is an entrance. It depends on whether you folks want to fight it. If anybody wants to sit down, I'll sit down with them. If they want to give us tickets, they can ticket all of us, if people feel like they want to do that. But here, this is 10 feet away at the moment.
You chopping down the trees and not caring shit about Mother Earth.
That's another matter.
Yeah.
So that's my suggestion. In the meantime, let's drink our soup and enjoy ourselves and try not to be bullied by folks. Getting kind of colder. It's around 4:55, and we're talking to...
My name is David Lofsted.
David, you got a poem here.
Yeah, and this is a poem about what war can really do to people, the true victims of war, all kinds of war. We're undergoing a war right now, an undeclared war, as it were. Our freedoms are being eroded away. and anyone, Republican, Democrats, conservative, liberal, we need to get together and bring America back before it's gone completely. And this is a poem about that. It's called Collateral Damage. Money and horror, war and work, family and finally love, caught in the trap, the madness of profit and power and rule, trying to battle against the hair-trigger temper, the riot that is mankind with the sanity of family, against knives and bombs with an embrace disdained, unprofitable, weak, uncontrollable.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless us all.
Boucher.
Boucher, what do you say?
I'm so against these cops and the society treating the homeless like shit. And, you know, it's not right for, you know, we should be able to have a place to sleep all the time, not worrying about squatting certain places and getting busted, getting tickets for sitting on the sidewalks. I don't like that at all. You know, I have a friend that we were in Laguna Beach, and we got 3 tickets and within 2 hours for the dog being off the leash. I don't like that. It's totally disrespect to us. You know, just because we ain't got money and we ain't got certain things doesn't mean we're trash. You know, they treat us like trash, and it's not right. I think we should all, this is a world, we all have room on this earth for everybody. I just want peace. I want everybody just to be happy. That's it.
You shouldn't have to sing for your supper.
Dig it, man. So, how long you been in Santa Cruz?
I just got in Santa Cruz yesterday.
And what do you make of it?
I love Santa Cruz already. It's got cool people. The kids are awesome. I mean, I'm going to stay here for a while until about Friday. I'm leaving Friday.
So where are you going?
I'm going to go to Palm Springs.
Thank you. Anything you want to add?
Just, you know, help the homeless out. Keep us all happy and, you know, peace on earth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wolf. I used to live in the beach flats at 212 K Street, and we tried to clean up the flats as far as drugs and stuff go. You know, we're talking like, you know, criminalization, like, you know, crack cocaine, crystal meth, not cannabis fires here.
Just hard
drugs. We don't need it. Okay, so we tried to clean up the flats, and we found out that basically city council is pretty much behind most of the drug running down there. And
what did you say on the city council?
On the city council, well, Mike Rotkin's been there for a little bit too long, and I'm starting to really disappreciate his attitude towards people in general, and, you know, his attitude of, oh, no, we're helping, but then going behind people's backs and pretty much ruining things for anyone who's got a good heart and trying to, do, you know, fight for a good cause.
What year was this that you were living there?
I was living there from about 1987 to about 1992.
And you said that, what led you to believe that council was thwarting this or actually profiting from this? Is that what you're suggesting, that they're profiting from this?
Well, considering the fact that the beach flats have had drug running going on down there for such a long time, and nobody's ever cleaned it up, ever. And when we did try and clean it up, not that it was, you know, necessarily the best way to go about it, but Beth Jones got her house burnt down. And Marciana Cruz stood across the street and watched us pick the rubble and laughed.
And tell the audience who Marciana Cruz is.
Marciana Cruz is a major political affiliate here in Santa Cruz County who works directly with the gangs in the Beach Flats area and supposedly trying to, quote-unquote, clean them up.
And you felt he was responsible for some of this, or...?
I felt he was directly in cahoots with the city council, and he was definitely a run between them and the people down in the beach flats area who are doing things that aren't necessarily positive
for
the environment.
Well, you might be now in the Dolphin Lee hoax, as we call it, the attempt to destroy and evict the Dolphin Lee complex, which will put 200 to 300 Hispanic people on the streets.
Which is very wrong.
In the name of affordable housing. I'll give you something on that. I was talking to a squatter who was ticketed in spite of the fact he was taking care of his squat. Tell me about that.
Well, basically, my friends and I were staying at this place. It was a house that no one was staying at except for us. No one had been living there for several months, and it was really dusty and dirty, and there were dead flies and things. We picked up the dead flies. I personally scrubbed all the floorboards, all the windowsills. I made it look like a person cares about it, because we did care about it. And we left that place better than it was when we found it. And had we not been forced to leave so abruptly, it would have been in mint condition practically when we left it. As it is, the police told us, grab your things and leave, so we didn't have a chance to do our final straightening up.
But when was this?
This was a few weeks ago. I've still got the citation in my pocket. I have yet to appear before...
Citation for trespassing?
Citation for trespassing, yes.
How many of you were evicted?
There were four of us there. We were all handcuffed. We were forced to sit there for a long time while they ran our names and did all sorts of things to basically show that we were completely in their power and that we had no right to be there or no right to do anything, even though whoever owned that place had not been using it and did not show up on that occasion to start using it as soon as we were forced to leave. It's now probably still vacant.
Your name is?
My name is Craig Flesher.
And Craig, were you given a legal place to go to sleep or to...
All they gave me was a piece of paper, the citation, and the command to leave. I was given...
Where did you go later that night? What did you do?
Let's see. I probably slept in the park under a park bench or something like that. I don't recall what I did that exact night, but the park benches are one of my favorite things to sleep under.
It's illegal to be in the parks after dusk, you know?
Yes, it certainly is, but I haven't been caught yet.
Wow. Anything else you want to say?
Just that I am 27 years old. I've been to college. I'm a trained artist who's trying to make a living here in Santa Cruz. And if it wasn't for the difficulty with housing, I probably would already be self-supporting by now.
What kind of art do you do?
Oh, all sorts of things. I write poetry. I sing. I drum. I dance. I'm very versatile. I just don't have the resources right now to be in a place where I could, you know, paint and draw all day or record my music or that sort of thing. So I perform on the street for spare change and coffee and cigarettes and things like
that. How much do you make per day?
Very rarely more than a couple dollars, but I can survive on that.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to hear my story.
I'll come back tomorrow. We'll be at the same protest site.
I'll do my best.
I'm leaving on the morning railroad in the drizzling darkness of the rain, and I hear with every wheel a pounding, secret sounding of your name, and your eyes will taste of the flowers, your lips of the morning dew, and your hair will taste of the meadow. Yes, all the world will taste of you. Oh, your face is in the morning sunrise. Your shadow is falling with the dawn. Your body's in the rolling water. Every day a memory is reborn. And your eyes will taste of the flowers. Your lips of the morning dew. And your hair will taste of the meadow, and all the world will taste of you. I can't tell the reason why I'm leaving. I don't know just what I'm heading for. I just know with every mile I wander, needing you another mile more. And your eyes will taste of the flowers, your lips of the morning dew, and your hair will taste of the meadow, and all the world will taste of you. And if you never get my letters, you know your memory will ring with every word that I'm a speaking. Every song that I sing, and your eyes will taste of the flowers, your lips of the morning dew, and your hair will taste of the meadow, and all the world will taste of you. So I'm a-leaving on the morning railroad, in the drizzling darkness of the rain. And I hear with every wheel a-turning, secret sounding of your name. And your eyes will taste of the flowers, your lips of the morning dew, and your hair will taste of the meadow. Yes, all the world will taste of the meadow.
It is March 9th, 2000. We're in front of the Del Mar Theater around noon, and we're talking to...
My name's Anthony Perez, and I don't know, I just passed by this place, and I sort of strung a little cord in my heart because 3 days ago I was out in the streets, and the people who I thought were my friends actually just turned their backs on me because they thought I was... Well, I just was out in the streets, and I was almost...
A worthless hobo with no money.
And I was sharing too much, I guess. I gave out too much, and I guess I wasn't. They weren't giving back, so.
Now, were you in a vehicle, or were you?
No, I just had my feet. That's why I have my shoes.
And you still have your shoes?
These are my nicer shoes that I just got. I mean, I could.
Are you still on the street?
I'm no longer on the street.
Excellent.
They realized that, you know, like I got hurt, and they needed to realize they needed to take care of their friend. So I got lucky. However, you know, it's not that easy sometimes. I could have just walked away from the situation and ran away.
So you don't like the idea of a law that criminalizes poor people for sleeping?
Oh, definitely not. I mean, how can you correct a problem that cannot be corrected? It's not a problem. It's a mindset, I guess. It's their mindset. It's our mindset. It's who we are.
Unless you have enough money, go away is pretty much what they're saying.
Exactly. Go away. You're not welcome here? Why not? Because you're human?
Pretty much.
That doesn't make very much sense.
Poor and human. You can be human and rich, good. Human and poor, bad.
Oh,
keep
rich.
That in mind.
Well, rich is just a word. You can be rich in soul and poor in soul. So it's just a word. I don't like words. Sometimes emotions, just looking in your eyes, just saying, yes, I believe, I understand. It's your pain. Been there, my brother.
Thank you. Anything you want to add for the folks out there?
I don't think so.
The sleeping band table still in front of the infamous Del Mar, and it's still sunny, and we're talking to...
Chris Merkley.
About 12:45. And Chris, you're a man who has a beat-up...
Oh, I have a beat-up van.
And
I park it at Davenport on a regular basis.
Uh-huh.
And 4 Mile, Waddell.
And what do the police and deputies say? Do they come up and kind of pat you on the back and say, what a great van you have here, let's help you out?
No, actually, they come up and tell me to leave.
Tell you to leave?
Yep.
What? Isn't there a thing called the U.S. Constitution? Whatever happened to that Constitution?
It went out with President Clinton and Carter, Bush, and Reagan. No one gives a shit about that thing anymore.
So tell us, what's it like? Do you live in your van? Or?
No, I don't.
But you're still...
When I go surfing, I get up early and look for the surf spots.
Right.
And that, you know, I park it where I want to surf at.
Any thoughts about... You're an old-timer here, I guess.
No, actually, I'm a...
New-timer?
I'm a transplant.
You're an incoming man.
I'm an incoming man, yeah.
But you've noticed the sleeping van?
I have noticed the sleeping van.
Have you been hassled under the sleeping van?
Yeah, I have.
And have you gotten $168, now $54 tickets under the...
Yes.
And what have you done with those tickets, other than use them for appropriate purposes?
I've used them to wipe my butt on a regular basis.
I see.
I don't really care for tickets.
And have you been picked up for this kind of... I mean, have they gone after you later with warrants and such?
No, I've paid them off. They just sit in my van and, you know, I use them for toilet paper.
Decorate the van.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Provide a scratchy material for... Well, why get into that? Poo-poo jokes, what can I say? Any comments to the free radio audience about the sleeping van and how it affects... You don't look like a wealthy surfer. I mean, I don't... Maybe I'm missing the gold earrings or something, but no, I don't...
I'm pretty flat broke.
And what's the story? Among surfers in Santa Cruz, are there a lot of poor folks, poorer folks, folks who, should we say, might run afoul of police? Or is it more kind of a upscale scene?
Well, on the surf scene, it's kind of different. Most people aren't well off, but they're not bad off either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you've got your broke surfers like myself, but, you know, the guys with sponsorships and everything, headaches from the cops, it's always the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Department coming out and chasing people out of somewhere to park, sleeping on the beach or whatever. Or the Park Association always coming out and kicking people out of 4 Mile, Davenport, Waddell, 3 Mile. They don't go out to Rims because they don't know about it, but...
Now they do.
Kind of. It's pretty hard to find. Most people don't know about it.
And how long have you been in Santa Cruz? And have you been hassled by police much?
I've been here about 2 years. And I've only been hassled recently since I've had this piece of shit van.
So you think that your van is doing you in, eh?
No, not so much the van, but the cops.
It's this police prejudice against old vans. Why can't they get comfortable with the older vans? Is this some sort of conspiracy to make you buy a new car?
I think it is. I think they're trying to keep the economy going.
Well, I say end it now. Anything you want to say to the... folks out there?
Keep on surfing, man. It's a good way to express yourself, release all that excess energy.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
All right.
Here I am, 10 years have I. Watch me run, watch me play, watch me cry. Time has no time, the world is mine, and it takes 10 years for a year to go by. Here I am, now 21, learned all I need for a life that's just begun. I know the rules, old men are fools, and it takes 7 years for a year to be done. Here I am, past 42, all that I know now, if only then I do. Tricked by time, now I find that it takes just a year for a year to be through. Here I am, as old as old, all things have been said, all stories have been told. Caught by time, the greatest crime is to live less than a year, when a year has unrolled. Less than a year, when a year has unrolled.
Hi. We have a rather famous personality, for those of you who are regular readers of the Santa Cruz Urinal, also known as the Santa Cruz Sentinel. That's the daily paper which 4 years ago featured you actually on the front cover as one of those van dwellers who was getting signed. That is to say, signs are being put on your van, flyers to get out of the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's right, but I'm still here, and I still love living in Santa Cruz, and it was much to Mike Rotkin's credit that he brought the fact that I'd been fired to the Sentinel's attention. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I'm sort of disappointed that he's gone on record for throwing his hands up over the homeless issue in town here.
And also, of course, helping the police get your hands up as well if they catch you at night in your van.
That's right. You have to be very careful. Regardless of whether you think you're doing something right or wrong, you can't sleep outdoors at nights, and I manage to take care of myself, but I really care about other people who perhaps don't have a vehicle, or don't know their way around, and are subject to arrest and costly fines.
Well, you know, you look like one of those drug addicted, alcoholic, homeless types we hear so much about. I see you're addicted to pizza for one thing. Obviously, you're scarfing it down big time. And don't you think that you need help instead of enabling your homelessness by allowing you to live in a vehicle? I mean, for heaven's sakes, man, get a credit card and join the system.
Well, that's exactly what's fishy about this issue. Anybody who's homeless is perceived immediately as someone who's countercultural, against the system, a threat of one sort or another. I work here in Santa Cruz, and on occasion when I can afford living indoors, I do. I'm definitely promoting the new downtown Santa Cruz. I'm subsidizing the
Piece of My Heart pizza.
I'm sure that they like me. Well, it's a community that needs to make room for all of its members and figure out a way how to do that, and also to put the fear aside and what I think is not ghettoize people who happen to have vehicles into one parking lot or another. I don't understand why they need to be monitored to begin with.
Well, it's because you look suspicious and you eat suspiciously. I've been noticing your eating habits, and just kidding about that.
I'm very erratic. Some days I go for pizza and others for burritos.
I
acknowledge that.
Lack of consistency, it's questionable. Questionable. Now, you've been sleeping in your vehicle for 4 years?
No, I, off and on as I need to, as I can afford to live elsewhere.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a teaching assistant up at the university. I'm a graduate student. I've just recently received my PhD.
In?
I won't say it because
people figure out
who I am, although they probably can already.
Uh-huh.
So I work in town. I have lots of friends here, and I try to contribute to the community in any way that I can. But I would hate to think that I would get drummed out of town just because sometimes I need a dry place to sleep.
It's all for your own good. Don't you realize that? We're trying to create a more vibrant community with, should we say, more vibrant vehicles.
That's right. Well, actually, word to the wise, don't make your vehicle look so vibrant.
I see. Last question. Has there been a change in the policy of the police in the last few years around ticketing vehicles that you've noticed?
I'm not really aware. I do know that about 2 years ago, they were letting a lot of people with huge buses sleep here and there all over town, and I thought that was merciful, giving these people. And also, I knew some of these people, and they worked in town. I'm not aware of what's going on right now, but I think that it's... I know that the police have the option of towing your vehicle as well as ticketing you, and I know that for people that are trying to get by and live, that just puts them over the top. I feel very sorry for anybody in that situation.
Well, I appreciate your clearly stating what I think is common sense. When will the city council understand the value of it? Statement, I guess.
Well, I know that I'm glad that it's back on the agenda.
It's kind of on the agenda. Mike Schmidt, the CEO from the Chamber of Commerce, has got a very tiny kind of proposal on, which doesn't really involve city property. It involves the armory, and it involves the county parking lot. It's kind of a... It began as a much bigger proposal. Now it's been reduced to one which covers only very few people. In fact, the majority of people who are single men are not covered at all. So it's, I guess we could hope it's a first step.
I hope so too, although as it stands, by definition, it's an absolute failure. And again, I'd like to go on record indicating that it's not clear to me why these people have to be monitored. If it's no longer against the law to sleep in your vehicle or sleep outside, then there's no reason on earth to...
Right.
The problem,
of course, is they are keeping it a crime to
right.
sleep. And therefore, in order to monitor people who do that, I guess,
right.
the idea is they're more likely to be criminals than those who have houses, which I think isn't true.
Well, if that's the case, I wouldn't recommend bringing them all together.
Take as much as you want, Robert.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. This is Phil Oakes from an old tape.
I was wondering whatever happened to the children. Dedicated towards the broadside. But their parents lost farms. Right. Have you heard about a country where the rivers run free? That's a place where I think you ought to go. Where the corn stands high, tall as the sky, on the great plains of old grass fields. School I learned the men who died by the gun, but not of those who died by the bullet. The land is open, and many a farm is flooded now, got buried long. And where are the hands that plow fields without sleep, and save the dying calf without rest? And where's the feet to walk down a hot dust trail on the way to seek their fortune going well? And where are the fathers who died in the dust, and mothers who died hungry in the snow? And where's the kids who watch the banks plow the houses down? Those are things I guess my teachers never know. Have you heard about a country where the rivers run free? That's a place where I think you ought to go.
where the corn stands high, tall as the sky, on the rich plains of old Nebraska. Now you tell me dust hurts on the corn and not men. You smile and say our time's gone away. I guess I should listen to city politicians. Is there anybody left to walk a muddy mile? Is courage a word that's only said? Is it true them dusty days are days that never really were, but are only tales and books to be read? Have you heard about a country where the rivers run free? That's a place where I think you ought to go. Where the corn stands high, tall as the sky, on the great plains of old Nebraska.
And you're a man who's been on the streets in a number of cities.
Oh, yes, Stockton, Santa Barbara, and here.
And how long total would you estimate your time on the street?
About 5 years.
And how does Santa Cruz compare?
Well, there's plenty of places to eat here. Any place else is not that many, you know.
How about sleeping?
Same thing.
More places to sleep here?
Yeah, then down in Santa Barbara, they lock you up camping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still? Or when were you in Santa Barbara?
Oh, about 9 years ago.
That was as the Homeless Rights Coalition, the Homeless Coalition, with Nancy McCready, right?
As soon as Reagan closed down the Woody Courts, that's where you got the people on the streets. They were cared for. They got their money. They were given so much a day. They had coffee or whatever. But they had a place to sleep. They got their medication in the morning. And everything was happy.
Well, yeah, I think what they needed to do is they needed to close them down and set up community centers that people could use. And they never did that second part of it. It was a problem.
The United States, I could say more, but it would sound prejudiced.
Any hassles here with police that you know? What do you think of the Santa Cruz police?
They're okay when it comes to the white, you know. And after that, they're a little bit, they knocked me up here 72 hours, but not.
5150.
I'm trying to protect myself. Somebody grabbed me from behind. I turned around and I hit him. I called an ambulance for him, but the police came first.
Right.
Put him in the top of the car.
How long ago was this?
A couple of years ago.
What about people getting beaten? We've heard a lot in the last year that homeless people are beaten at a much higher rate than how those are in homes. What do you make of that? Is that true?
Do you remember Manny, the guy from the homeless garden?
Yeah.
And Gary, with the beard.
Vaguely.
Yeah. They found them both in the same place by the river. That much water.
Yeah. But they drowned. That's what the police told us. It was accidental.
Yeah.
Come on. There's no hate crime against the homeless in our town.
If I had a violin, I'd play it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. All right.
David.
And the silent wonder, by far the more attractive of the two of you, I might add, to my taste. But, David, what's happening?
Well, it looks like the government has made it to where everybody, even if they vote, it does not mean anything.
Now, wait a minute. Southern California decided, do $400 worth of vandalism, be 14 years old, you're a felon, you lose!
I know. Yeah. But, see, I know hundreds of people that voted against it, and yet it still passed.
Well, that's because there were tens of thousands, if not, well, millions, actually, who voted in favor of it down in Southern California, you know, where the water runs uphill and the... whatever it happens down there.
And the government rules everybody.
And the people are little governments unto themselves. I guess they're not... I guess they're all little... I don't know. It's just very depressing. What's happening? Are you outside these days, or...?
Oh, yeah. I live in the streets.
Any hassles from police?
Oh, no, they don't hassle me because I'm a local here and they know me and they usually leave me alone.
Have you heard much about people getting beaten up by troll busters?
Actually, I've been hearing people getting beaten up down here on the mall.
Really? By
the younger kids.
We're talking about homeless people getting beaten up?
We're talking about homeless people getting beat up.
How many people? Who are we talking about? Any particular people?
We're talking about a deaf man.
A deaf man, and when was this?
Oh, was that 3 days? 4 days ago? About 4 days ago.
And where did this happen?
Right here in front of New Leaf.
And about what time of day?
Oh, like in the afternoon.
And were you a witness to this?
No, my friend was there, and he told me that the kid that was beating him up was right here in front of New Leaf, but the downtown hosts didn't come out. All the commotion was, everybody was yelling and screaming, and he was getting beat up, and the guy that beat him up picked up his guitar. It was brand new, $300 acoustic guitar, took it out in the street, swung it around, threw it up in the air, and smashed it.
And were these people identified? Do people know who they are?
The guy was identified. The guy rode off. The police were called. But the downtown hosts, they were
well,
here.
They have more important things to do. Like yesterday, we were having a meal here, and they made everyone get up because they shouldn't sit near an abandoned building in the rain, out of the rain. See, that's really more important than these meetings are secondary.
Why is it that if you have a building that is not being a place of business for people, it's an abandoned building, but yet nobody can sit in front of it? Why is that?
Well, you know, ask me another question. Maybe tomorrow.
Isn't it a public sidewalk? Isn't it paid for by the taxpayers of the city of Santa Cruz?
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Oh yes, I would think it would be paid for by the taxpayers.
So are these gentlemen here?
Yeah. Well, their salaries are paid by the taxpayers as well as the government.
Mm-hmm.
The government helps pay their salaries.
So, there was this guy beaten up. Was he taken to the hospital?
He was taken to the hospital, and he was treated and released. But that still does not replace the $300 guitar that the person broke.
Right.
You know?
And what about the people who did the beating? Were they arrested?
And I have no clue on that one.
Okay.
I hope they get arrested, because I would love to see them in court. Because who in their right mind would beat up a deaf man for playing a guitar on the street?
A punk sadist, perhaps?
Melissa.
Yesterday, as I recall, Melissa, we were checking out your fundraising activities. You were trying to get a tent, and you look upset today. What's up?
It's just, in general, I'm upset over the playing community, the way it doesn't really seem that anything's getting done about the whole camping ban. It doesn't seem like anybody really cares about it. People just don't realize that the cops are not helping us at all. I absolutely hate getting woken up in the middle of the night.
When's the last time that happened to you?
About 2-3 days ago.
And tell me about that.
I was sleeping over by the lighthouse in some bushes, and cop comes through there, wakes us up, and then tells us that we need to keep moving. I've slept in other places before, over by a church, and cop would come and woke us up for the first time. I had slept there for about a week or so, and that was only when it was raining, and the cop would still come and get us up, even though it was raining, and tell us that we needed to move, that we couldn't sleep outside.
Didn't say he'd received any complaints?
No, as far as I know, he did not receive any complaints. He just got us up and told us to move.
You look tired.
I've been pretty sleepy. I didn't get enough sleep in the last couple of days trying to catch up.
This is part of the program to keep you on your feet and tough and rough. See, some people exercise with, what do you call these, exercise balls? Others have the police wake them up. It's all part of the grand plan of the Santa Cruz City Council.
Mm.
So they know better than you how to help you, how to help you out, how to help you way out. They want you out.
They want all of us homeless people to get out of their community. They don't like us here, and that's not our fault that we're homeless.
That's right. Well, I have some. We have some bread here. There'll be some food about 4 o'clock. You could always, if everybody wants to sleep here, I'll join you. They'll hassle us, but they can hassle us together.
Right on. That sounds great. You could be here later.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's about 2:20 here in Slammer Cruz, as Jerry Henry calls it. And Jerry, you're down here in, I guess, what brings you to Santa Cruz? They're not letting you go to the Aptos Shopping Center, and I guess that's what I want to talk to you about. You were jailed twice on charges of interfering with a business, multiple charges. Your interference, of course, was you didn't move in and block the doors. You didn't attempt to stop people from shopping by barricading them or holding them up with a gun. You simply were broadcasting what these businesses were doing to young people out at the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center.
Oh, sometimes I wasn't even broadcasting. I was literally just living and associating with friends of mine.
Trying to be in a public space without being harassed.
And trying to drink a cup of coffee.
Which they would not serve you, so you had to send in other people to get a cup of coffee. And
well, that's been for years.
Yes. Well, it seems that I know that your case was notorious because you were twice held in jail on $100,000 bail, and you have been given a stay-away condition from the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center pending this trial, which I guess is
April 10th.
April 10th, it will go to trial in Judge Kelsey's court?
In Judge Kelsey's.
And that's Department 2, right?
Department 2.
And you recently had a hearing there. Who is your public defender?
Kristen Carter. I just met with her for my first time briefly today and have an appointment tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Judge Kelsey, last Thursday, the district attorney offered me a plea bargain. The plea bargain was that I stay out of Rancho Del Mar for 3 years. I can't accept that.
Now, what would you plead guilty to? Or what was the offering?
Well, if I would just agree to stay out of Rancho, they'd dismiss, I think, all 11 charges against me. Judge Kelsey said that he found it unbelievable that a human being was going to risk 10 years to be at a shopping center and that there would be no cost to me by leaving, and he advised me to take the OR.
Did you advise him that you found it unbelievable that a judge would officiate over such a parody of justice?
No, I have a public defender, so unfortunately I don't get to speak. But
so the judge is saying, why don't you just do what the business people tell you to do?
No, the judge said he honestly didn't know anything about it, and my file wasn't in front of him.
Right.
I went to pretrial, and there wasn't even a file there, and evidently, from what I understand, the person that had my file is one of the top legal brains in the courthouse over there, and he commented that if that person had this file, he really did want to hear this case.
Now, wait a minute. You're talking about a defender or a prosecutor?
I think I'm talking about one of the judge's legal brains, their legal research guy. They are dealing with my habeas corpus right now.
Of course, the habeas corpus suit came about when, for the second time, you were incarcerated on $100,000 bail for the nonviolent act of essentially being outside of business.
Well, you know, that second time I wasn't for standing at a bus stop out
standing
in front of
a
shopping center.
Right. Well, those are, you know, if you stand at a bus stop too long, you may alarm the people. So you've got to watch out. That kind of bus stop criminality has got to stop.
They said I was not living to the spirit of the OR conditions, although I did not violate the OR at all. They had determined that I was not living to the spirit of it and took my dog, my car, and myself to jail.
I recall they had told you after they first took you in on a $100,000 bail charge that they would release you if you agreed to stay away from the shopping center until the trial.
And I could shop in Safeway. It was,
and
I could go in
go to
one
that
entrance,
part of the shopping center out there and
go straight out. I lived by the rules. I was on the public sidewalk at a bus stop in front of the shopping center, and my car was stolen, my dog was taken to doggy jail, and I was taken to jail for 5 more days and put on another threat of $100,000 bail.
So you are, but you are not backing down. You are risking 10 years in jail.
Judge Kelsey's words himself. He's 10 years.
I wonder how many years in hell this entire, well, I don't believe it's.
Well, you know, I couldn't believe, Robert, that the day that they brought me in and put me on $100,000 bail that they had brought in another person that was a convicted drug dealer that had a loaded concealed weapon in his car, and they OR'd him.
Well, yeah, but you're a much more dangerous type. I mean,
I know.
Look
I
at
was
that
in
hat.
There for standing at a bus stop, $100,000.
Got to be stopped. Where's my hug?
No, Robert, it's good to see you.
Jerry, it's a pleasure.
April 10th, my trial.
April 10th, Department 2.
Anybody that's concerned, I think they need to be there.
Do you want folks to call you if they're interested, let's say, in supporting you or getting more information?
Come April 10th.
It's at 9 o'clock in the morning? Is when it
begins. I don't know the exact time, but I would say it's early in the morning. I don't know when exactly they're going to do jury selection. If they were interested, they could even call the courthouse or call you.
Right, 423-HUFF for more information on the Jerry Henry case. Thank you, Jerry.
423-HUFF.
Correct.
I've been trying to figure that out the last few days. I wanted to get a hold of you.
Yeah, well, under the name Robert Norris, for those who forget the number, N-O-R-S-E.
We'll see.
And for those who are interested in the Jerry Henry case, keep your eyes peeled for the Mid-County Post, soon to do a story on Jerry Henry, I'm told, by one of the writers. That's April 10th. He goes to trial on 10 counts or thereabouts. At least that's what they're threatening. We think they may chicken out by the time trial comes around because he's holding firm. 10 counts of interfering with a business, essentially for informing people in young people who are gathered at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center about their rights regarding not talking to police officers, about not consenting to searches, things of that sort, which is made in persona non grata with the first alarm security, with the sheriff's deputies, and with certain officials in Gottschalk, certain workers in Gottschalk, certain managers there, as well as the Aptos Coffee Roasting Company and Rancho Liquors. We've covered this story at some length, and you're now tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. If you have any comments, you want to call in, please do so. 427-3772 is the phone number here. We will be with you for another half an hour. We're going to be turning now to more recent events to kind of update you on what's been happening. We have finally secured a tape of the Ralph Nader event that happened, I guess it was on Tuesday evening. Yeah, Tuesday evening. I'm going to make sure I've got the right tape here. It's always important not to do the wrong tape. And I think we have found it. No, we're still looking for it. Ralph Nader event, of course, was an event kind of, I guess, managed by the Greens and to some extent by David Silva, who has, as many of you out there know, been an active opponent of the sleeping ban, the law that criminalizes homeless people we've been talking about earlier in the show, and that many people that have been discussing in these interviews we've been playing for you, interviews that have happened at the Spring Mobilization Against the Sleeping Ban table, which is going to be at the Del Mar Theater on Pacific Avenue, as long as we can find folks to staff it. And we need folks to staff it. 423-HUFF, if you want to help out with that, 423-4833. Cases of the disappearing tapes. Wow. I'm going to find it, and we're going to put it on. We will play that tape, and it is here. Ah, yes, here we go. I have found it. Give you a little background. On Tuesday, quite a big day for me last Tuesday, 2 days ago, there was a regular city council meeting, which had a huge crowd showed up in the evening. And this was also a city council meeting that I really wanted to be at for a number of reasons. There were actually four parts to the city council meeting. The 1 o'clock part began with a litigation session. That happens behind closed doors when supposedly personnel matters and legal matters are discussed in private. Before they go into private, however, they do allow you to make comments on the agendas coming up, the items coming up, sorry, on the agenda. And the items that were coming up were acquisition of three properties. We've talked about this on the show before. The so-called Dolphin/Lee/Seaside Company Rex Court properties in the Beach Flats, which the city has decided it wants to seize, raise all existing structures to the ground, destroy them, and build there under the tutorship of Mercy Housing, under the management of Mercy Housing, Mercy Charities Housing, a special affordable housing, quote-unquote, project. And, of course, we've been pointing out, some of us, that it's not affordable because the people that they're going to be evicted that are in the way of this urban renewal project will not be guaranteed entrance into these properties, nor will they necessarily be guaranteed enough relocation money to survive in housing in the incredibly tight housing market in Santa Cruz for the year or two that will be required while this project is being built. And we're not getting any answers from the city council on this. We didn't get any answers on Tuesday. Their juggernaut, the buyer's juggernaut, Catherine Byers is the woman behind this plan, this swing vote, the shadow mayor on the city council, not the actual mayor, who is Keith Sugar, but the woman who controls the majority that is pushing this forward. And, of course, the shameful behavior of Sugar and Crone, the most liberal members of the council, in not dissenting from this kind of runaway train that is essentially Chapter 2 of the Bulldoze the Beach Flats campaign, which was begun by Rotkin and Kennedy back in the late 90s and repudiated by the voters in the 1998 election. It's under full steam. So I spoke at the litigation session, and I think I'll be playing that probably on Sunday, that tape. And then in the afternoon session, some other things happen, which I'll talk about in a bit. And then at the 5 o'clock session, there are actually four different sessions of the City Council, two main ones, the 3 o'clock and the 7 o'clock, and then the litigation session at 1 and the redevelopment agency, which is the City Council sitting as a kind of the group that decides how the money is spent on, quote, housing. But, of course, the housing here is not going to be affordable for those who are currently on the property and in buildings on that site, but it stands in the way of the, quote, progress that Byers and Fitzmaurice, who's the real champion of this project, want, but aren't explaining why they're not building on vacant property nearby, which wouldn't displace hundreds of people, which wouldn't threaten their homes and their livelihood. We're not hearing a word from Fitzmaurice on this, even though we've requested time and time again for him to come on the air to discuss it, to clarify why he made this choice, why he's pushing this project. And, of course, the reason in my mind that he's not doing this and that the conclusion that I'm forced to draw is that he hasn't got good reasons. This plan maybe was the one they had available to rush forward to get the federal housing money. And, of course, there are all kinds of questions about illegal immigrant status. Can illegal immigrants move into the property? Can they move back into the Mercy Housing Project? Can they even get relocation money? We're getting kind of assurances that they can, but at this 5 o'clock session of the City Council, Julie Lee presented them with a document. She's the manager of the Lee Apartments, and she has been telling the redevelopment agency and its relocation friends to get the fuck off their property, if you'll forgive me for putting it that way, to stay off their property until they get some specific invitation from a tenant to come on the property, not to harass the tenants and propagandize them to death, but to wait until the tenants say, come on and we'll talk to you. And they've also asked the attorneys, have drawn up a document, the attorney for the Lee tenants, that says, we want guarantees from the city, not promises, but guarantees. And as of City Council Tuesday, they had refused to sign any such document. And we're going to see in the days ahead whether they do. And if they don't, I think it's going to be clear that the city is trying to create a project that will, in fact, exclude the very people that they claim that they're building it for. And this is a disgrace, particularly contemptible and particularly shocking, because it's being done under the sponsorship of SCAN, Santa Cruz Action Network. And why do I say this? Have they supported it? Well, yeah, they did support it by not opposing it, by not condemning the council members who are pushing this forward, by not mentioning in their newsletter that this was one of the key votes that happened last fall by the City Council, a unanimous 7-0 vote for a project that the tenants in the community had no public input into of any significant kind, a project that destroys existing housing, that seems to actually prepare the way for the discredited Third Street realignment, the Canfield Seaside Company boardwalk giveaway, by blocking off the street and by setting up the same conditions that the voters rejected several years ago. Looks mighty phony to me, and I have yet to see an adequate and hear an adequate explanation from council members who claim that they're acting on behalf of poor people. I speak specifically to Tim Fitzmaurice, who, if you're out there listening, Tim, and he's been informed of this show or of these shows that are going on, he's refused to call in, he's declined to make a public statement at City Council, he's declined to answer letters, he's refused to respond to phone calls in the last 4 weeks. He hasn't got a thing to say on this issue. And I think, in effect, of course, that says a great deal. Anyway, this happened on Tuesday, and I'm kind of winding my way through that because I think it's important that you know this if you want to stay abreast of City Council. Other things were happening on Tuesday, too, involving Brown Act violations, which I'll talk about later. Brown Act is the Public Records, the Public Participation Act, the right of the Open Meetings Act is actually what it is, the right of the public to be informed of and participate in the meetings of the city and of the state and of the various legislative bodies that supposedly represent us. But getting back to the sleeping ban and Ralph Nader, which is where this whole conversation started, there was also a huge event at the Civic Auditorium across the street from the City Council chambers, where at the same time Julie Lee was leading Hispanic people to the mic for the first time at oral communications and having them speak of their concerns and their fears about the city's attempt to evict them, and saying these in Spanish before a very large audience. It was packed, and I think a lot of people were impatient to get on to their issues, but I think it was also important that Julie spoke and had these other folks talking about what their concerns were, so the city now has not just some rabble-rousers like myself and Phil Baer and Scott Graham and Fred Geiger standing up and saying, hold on, what's going on here? But the actual tenants who live there are saying,
Where are the promises on paper? Where are the real guarantees on paper, not just the promises in the mouths of the talking heads and the bureaucrats? But across the street in the Civic Auditorium, something else was happening. That was Ralph Nader of the Green Party coming to town. I believe the state Green Party has come out with a statement about against the sleeping ban here in Santa Cruz and other laws that criminalize homeless people. Quite a turnout, I thought. I mean, the place was not full, but there was a significant number of people considering the small lead time that David Silva and the Greens had to get this event together. I just spoke to David on the phone. He is on a fast, and he is weakening. He's been going now without water since March 1st and without a real full meals, three meals a day, since January 14th, I believe it was, or 15th, when the city council essentially slapped the homeless issues task force in the face and made no response to their recommendation that there be a suspension of the sleeping and camping bans pending safe zones. David had some things he wanted me to pass on to you. And I was going to be rather critical about Ralph Nader and this event before I heard from David this evening, because Nader didn't say really diddly squat about the sleeping ban. He essentially schmoozed with politicians, Fitzmaurice, Sugar, who are also refusing to get public on the sleeping ban and to talk about the rights of homeless people, to make the vital public advocacy for the rights of the homeless that they need to do for there to be changes, and for Catherine Byers to be called on the kind of scam she's running. Byers is the person that has blocked any real changes in the sleeping ban. She's, as I said, the shadow mayor in this situation. She has a majority with Rotkin, Matthews, and Hernandez to essentially keep things exactly the way they are with $54 tickets, with 700 to 1,500 people homeless at night, with a level of beatings 15 to 40 times that of those in houses. And I'm going to make a correction here. I looked over the stats by the police chief, and I found that it's not 40 to 100 times. It's only 15 to 40 times you're more likely to get hit if you're a homeless person. We have an incoming call here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Hey, it sounds like Scott Graham.
Yep.
You been listening to our show there?
A little bit.
Well, we're about to kind of quickly play this Nader snippet. We asked him a question about the sleeping ban, and he kind of wandered off into the affordable housing line, which is something Mike Rotkin does all the time. He says, oh, yeah, we're in favor of affordable housing, but in the meantime, we'll just arrest him and throw away the key. That's not what Nader said, but we needed a strong statement from him, and at that time, we didn't get it. Although now, as I said, I've heard from David Silva that, in fact, there had been a kind of a screw-up, that Nader had not been briefed on the issue clearly, and actually both people who were supposed to have briefed him thought the other one briefed him, and that the actual proceeds of the whole Nader rally, which included more than 850 people there, half of the proceeds went to the campaign to end the sleeping ban, and that was matched by the Green Party. So there was a significant amount of money that went into that campaign. I just wanted to say that, and I'm going to let you talk about whatever you wish to do. I'm going to also... Actually, maybe what I should do is, can I get you to hold on the line while I play this very brief snippet of tape that Nader... I think David Silva has been waiting to hear it. Some other folks have, too.
Okay.
Maybe you can just kind of hang with us. Just sort of as a prologue, I was initially barred from this press conference as I attempted to attend it. I was a guy named Ron strong-armed me at the door and refused to let me in, then started shoving me, demanding to see my press pass. I said, I don't have a press pass, but any of these other reporters here will identify me, and they were willing to. They were saying, yeah, we know him. He started shoving me, so I had to essentially force my way into the room, becoming the star of the show for about 10 seconds as Ralph Nader looked up abashed and wondered what was going on, and then I took my seat. And then I finally asked this question, which I'm now going to play on the air, so hang tough, and we'll get back to you, Scott.
Okay.
Spirit, a homeless newspaper in San Francisco. Across the country, increasingly homeless people are being criminalized for simply trying to use public spaces. How do you feel about, let's say, laws that criminalize the right to sleep at night? For example, here in Santa Cruz, we have an ordinance that prohibits all sleeping in vehicles or outside after 11 p.m. at night.
So I'll go a little deeper than that. Everyone should have a right to affordable housing, period. The fact that they have to sleep in the streets is a shameful scar on our society. We are, after all, the biggest and richest country in the world, and we probably have more homeless people than many small countries in Western Europe, like per capita, like the Netherlands or Scandinavia. I mean, here in California, you have 25% child poverty. You know what it is in the Netherlands? It's 3%. And in Scandinavia, it's 2%. And they're ashamed of it. So I am quite aware of the pernicious misuse of the anti-vagrancy laws and the Supreme Court decisions in that respect. But I don't want to contend on that level. I want to contend on a level that everyone in this country has a right to affordable housing.
Who will provide it?
The government will provide it. The government will provide it. The government that undertaxes corporations and lets them get away with huge profits without paying their fair share of local, state, and federal taxes. And let the corporations pay some of these taxes so we can firm up our social compact as human beings who care about each other.
And that was Ralph Nader on Tuesday night speaking on the issue of supposedly the sleeping ban. Again, it was shifted to, quote, affordable housing, and I found that to be a kind of a despicable cop-out. But again, if he hadn't been briefed on it and he didn't know what the local situation was, and if in the end he contributed half of the profits to the campaign to end the sleeping ban, I'm much, much happier than I was 20 minutes ago. Anyway, how you doing, Scott?
Oh, all right. Well, the one reason I was calling was to talk about this thing that's on the Planning Commission agenda for this evening.
Oh, there is a Planning Commission tonight.
And
tell us
what they're talking about doing tonight is adding Title IV to the Santa Cruz Municipal Code pertaining to general municipal code enforcement. Enforcement authority, remedies, nuisance abatement, appeals, fees, and penalties.
What does that mean to us idiots?
Well, that means that what they want to do is, you know about this targeted enforcement, enhanced enforcement area they've had in the Beach Flats and Lower Ocean Street for the last few years?
Tell us about that.
Well, it's where the building inspectors can drive by and decide that a house maybe has a number of violations, and then inspect the property based on observance from off the property.
Sort of a
instead of you know, having to have a complaint either from a neighbor or from someone renting the property, this will be a non-complaint driven process.
And this has existed in the Beach Flats since 1991, or?
No, I think it's been happening there since 94 or 95 or something.
And there was some amendment made at that time that created...
Right, that created this enforcement mechanism in the Beach Flats, and they put it over into the Lower Ocean neighborhood also. Mm-hmm. Now they want to do it citywide.
And tell us what you think the significance of this is, Scott.
Well, the city itself estimates that there's at least 3,000 illegally converted garages in town, and every one of those will be up for grabs under this. They'll be able to go in and either have the people evicted from them or make the landlords pay whatever the planning cost is, which is usually about $10,000 or $15,000, to make the thing legal, to go through the planning process and legalize the unit.
Well, is the motivation for this that there are slumlords on the west side who are ripping off poor students?
I think the motivation for this is that after the earthquake, the planning department got huge. And now that we're 10 years away from the earthquake, there's not that great a need anymore for a giant planning department. So they're going to create this entire marasmus of penalties, which they can go out and find instead of having to be called to, and then start finding people, which will bring more money into the planning department when they start finding all these landowners, and that'll make it so they can retain a lot of their burgeoning personnel.
Well, now, isn't Ed Porter on the Planning Commission?
Yes.
And I know Ed has been a big defender of the new council majority. He and I have had, should we say, differences of opinion on this issue for some time. How does he stand on this issue?
I haven't talked to Ed about it, but I would imagine this is something Ed isn't in favor of.
Is not in favor of.
Right. I don't know if you've ever driven past his house, but he's sort of...
A slumlord?
No. But it looks like his house might be owned by a slumlord, even though he lives in it himself.
Well, you know, it's interesting. What about, is the Planning Commission, no doubt, also has on its agenda your important new plan to make sure that the redevelopment agency has an oversight agency. You've been talking about that in past shows.
No, that's not on there.
Well, why not?
It hasn't happened yet.
Well, I expect you to get busy around that.
Well, I don't think it would go to the Planning Commission anyway. It would probably just go...
City Council?
Yeah, or
maybe the voters.
Redevelopment Agency itself. You know, the City Council acting as the Redevelopment Agency.
Uh-huh.
But I've been doing some research on that, and Berkeley has a commission that oversees redevelopment, and they not only oversee it, but they also approve its budget.
Mm-hmm. And how does it work? Does it effectively rein in the big bucks and the big boys and the bloated folks? How does it do?
I'm not sure how it actually, you know, how effective it actually is. But I mean, at least it's something,
right?
That, you know, the citizens can participate, a way for citizens to participate in the process. Where here in Santa Cruz, the redevelopment agency has no such system.
Well, you were also at City Council meeting, which was quite a mob scene on Tuesday night, and you heard Julie Lee and some of her Spanish-speaking tenants speaking at the mic, kind of making their way through the mob of metro-based people on the one hand, and I guess folks who still thought that the restrict the music and additional fees for the music was on the agenda for the on the other. Any comments on what happened at City Council on Tuesday night? Want to give us a quick update? We really have to leave shortly, but maybe
I thought it was typical of Michael Hernandez to attack Julie Lee.
Tell us what happened.
Well, he said somebody I forgot who asked her a question, or maybe Tim said Tim responded to her in some way, saying that he would talk to her later or something, and.
Tim Fitzmaurice.
Yeah, and then Michael Hernandez chimed in and said, well, I'd like to ask her a question. And he goes, why hasn't your family kept the property up so it looks better?
Mm-hmm.
And Mayor Sugar wouldn't allow
her to answer that question.
Yeah, he just was like, well, Michael, that's an inappropriate type of discourse.
Right. It's inappropriate to say that publicly, but it's okay to initiate a process that will destroy all that property and evict
right.
the tenants. That's what Mayor Sugar is telling us.
Right.
In essence, because that's what he's doing. Wow. Well, what is... So this Planning Commission meeting is tonight? I mean, what time is it?
Yeah, it started at 7:30. Probably this item I'm talking about will be heard soon after 8.
Mm-hmm. And that is down at City Hall?
Right.
So for folks who want to go, you know, just to waddle on down to the City Hall and check it out, you're going to be down there?
Yes, I'm going to go down and talk against having any such changes made and any such authority given to a non-judicial type process.
And folks can also call in if they're concerned about this issue? Or is there an email address people can send in their concerns about this too?
I have no idea.
Well, you better find out, big boy.
Right.
All right. So, if folks see you, you're kind of a medium height. You have you're ill shaven. You have long, kind of blondish curly hair. How would you describe your appearance if people want to get the dope from you as they come into the room?
I probably won't be wearing shoes.
And they'll call you. And you're the shoeless eighth city council member that Scan just loves to laud, but then apparently pays no attention to when it proceeds with its real substantive discussions.
Right, that's true.
Listen, thank you, Scott Cullen. I hope we can catch you this weekend for a longer analysis. We've got only 3 minutes left in the show. We're going to roll so Uncle Dennis can get punctually here at 30 seconds before his time. Everyone will rejoice. Yes, as you can hear the grumbling of the great bear in the background. So thank you for calling in, Scott. Anything else you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to... when I tuned in earlier, you were talking about how Catherine's the swing vote, and I just wanted to say that most of the votes that happen at City Council are unanimous. Probably 60% of the votes, all seven members vote for things.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably 30% of the time, it's, like you said, it's Hernandez, Rockin, Matthews, Byers, and usually Fitzmaurice voting together.
Mm-hmm. The new so-called majority that we
right.
hoped would be...
And then 10% of the time, it's the new so-called majority everyone feared coming into office.
Mm-hmm.
And they hardly ever vote as especially when it comes to crucial issues. They hardly ever vote together as this four, you know, group of four, the new majority. I mean, it doesn't exist. It's all a myth.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and a lot happens behind the scenes where you have them agreeing to vote 7-0 because Crone and Sugar are afraid to stick their scrawny little necks out as the problem. And if they were willing to stick their necks out further, we might know more about what's really happening in the situation. We might actually get some education. Maybe we can get them to do that. Maybe folks will come down to City Council tonight to see the Planning Commission consider this proposal.
I would hope that anybody that lives in a questionable unit or you know, doesn't mind living in such a unit, and anyone that ever has lived in such a unit and figures that, you know, that's a way of life here in Santa Cruz, ought to get down there and, you know, try to keep these dogs at bay, I would say.
So get on down to the Planning Commission, and we'll hope to see you down there, Scott.
All right. Talk to you later, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's about it for Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides tonight. We have, of course, a date with you for Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning when we will be returning, hopefully with lots of yummy stuff. I'm planning to tentatively meet Steve Argue in the morning. That's the man in jail for punching Officer Lefebvre, as Lefebvre was twisting the hand of a woman holding a small child in her arms at the Yugoslavia protest demonstration, in another example of bumbling police crowd control that's now being covered up by the City Council in freezing the Citizens Police Review Board's so-called independent investigation, which I believe is finished this week. We're going to be talking about that, talking about other events that happened last week around the Citizens Police Review Board, and we're going to now just roll right out of the studio and give our man here an opportunity to roll right in. That's Uncle Dennis, who generally has it together much better than I do, and we'll give him a little chance to prepare by playing a little Phil Oakes. Thanks for being with us. Call Huff, 423-4833, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, during the next few days. If you have any reports of police misconduct, questions about homeless issues, or if you want to volunteer to help staff the homeless table, which will be resuming at 12 o'clock tomorrow in front of the Del Mar Theater to help end the sleeping ban. And, again, come to the Rise Zone 5 o'clock tomorrow if you want to do some participating in the planning process for a March 28th protest at City Council.
If you say all the good times are gone, if you say this rain will keep raining on, I'll walk along with my head held high. I'll find a song and I'll sing it to the sky. I may be wrong, but I'll live till I die. That's the way it's gonna be. Wait and see. Even though you say, reach the, no, though you say, hard times knock at my door. Though you say, I'll never smile anymore. I just imagine that I'm 10 feet tall. Then if I try, I can climb the highest wall. It doesn't matter if I slip down and fall. That's the way it's gonna be. Wait and see. Even though you say, reach the end of my road. Though you say, my tires are all running low. It's been so long since I tried to frown. That old man trouble will never get me down. It's all that easy when you know where you're bound. That's the way it's gonna be. Wait and see. Just you wait and see. Even though you say, stay here, even though you say, all the good times are gone. Though you say this rain will keep raining on, I'll walk along with my head held high. I'll find that song and I'll sing it to the sky. I may be wrong, but I'll live till